So, yes, as I had said originally, I was planning on using a chunk of this shiur to just go through the Gemara with Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim. Discretion is the better... Better form of valor? No, it's better something of valor. Yeah. But whatever it is, discretion is right. The Gemara above Mitzia Nunamadal Talmud Beis is just... It's a very tangled Gemara with a lot of different ways to read it. If you want to have some fun, you should read it.
Better part.
Better part of valor. Thank you. If you want to really get it, you should look through the Ritva. You should look at a few things in the Shita Mekubeses that are brought there, which do help somewhat. I think Rav Abuhav there brings six Sharashim in order to understand that Gemara. But if we were to do that, we would do that like the entire time and probably not finish it. And there are other things that we also need to see, and I'm going to defer to those other things. Specifically, want to look at the question of what exactly is happening when a person, we say, does mechila with a buyer or seller, I suppose, but the buyer in the normal case is cheated by less than 1/6. And we say that he is mochel. What actually is involved with that mechila? What are the options and so forth? And then the other question is at the other end of the spectrum. If it's more than 1/6, then we say that the sale is invalid. What does that mean? How does that apply in practice? What if he wants to stick with it? What if the seller wants to back out? And so forth. So those are the issues that we're going to spend our time on. I did include the Gemara at the very end of the Maamar Makomos, but I'm not kidding myself into thinking we're going to get there. I will be lucky if I'm coherent through those first two topics. Okay, so starting with mechila at less than 1/6, the basic principle when all is said and done is that at less than 1/6, we say that the cheated party is mochel, and there's nothing further to do. But let's ask a question. What if the person who was me'aneh feels bad? Right? I sold somebody something for $6.50, when in fact it's actually only worth $6. So it's less than a six. I can get away with it. He's mochel and we're done. But what if I feel bad? Rosh Hashanah is coming. And I say, yeah, I'd like to refund him the 50 cents. So should he accept the money back? So there is a Taz, which is source Aleph on your sheet, which doesn't deal with this case directly, but you might infer something from it. The Taz writes, Venerally, it appears to me, Tikisheino bari pachos mishtus, if it's not clear that it's less than a sixth. Okay, we're not sure exactly what the correct value is. Right? I sold you something, and I sold it to you for $6.50. And you're not sure whether it's actually worth $6.50, whether it's worth 1/6 less than that, whether it's worth even less than that. The year tzelahach zirlo, and you want to refund it because you feel bad, right? Lo yakabo mimenu. You should not accept it. He says the mit'aneh in such a case should not accept the payback. Dishema havi mechila, because maybe it actually is in the under 1/6 zone, in which case he was mochel. So the Taz writes, I'm stopping there on the Taz for the moment, the Taz writes that if you're not sure whether it was in fact a sixth or less than a sixth, don't accept the repayment. That's his statement.
What's the problem with accepting it?
So just that you forgave it. Now he's giving you something you don't have a right to. Yeah, so we're going to come back to that thought. But the Pisrei Choshen on this, it's in Perek Yud Aleph, Sif Katan Beis, says that this Taz implies that if you know it's less than a sixth, you know, not a Safek case, but if you know it's less than a sixth, then you don't accept it, right? Because otherwise, what's the Safek about? Right? In other words, you're telling me I'm not sure whether it's less than a sixth or more than a sixth. So therefore, don't accept it. Well, that must mean that at less than a sixth, you're not supposed to accept it, because otherwise, what's your problem? That's the Pisrei Choshen's conclusion, therefore. He says that means you're not supposed to accept it back. However, I'm not so sure that he's correct, because I think there's another way that you could look at it, right? You could also say that the reason I'm not supposed to accept it is not because the reason I'm not supposed to accept it in this case is not because, in general, there's a doubt of do I accept at less than a sixth or not, or should I? Is it less than a sixth or not? It's because of the mindset of the person who's refunding it, right? It's because of his problem, his suffix, meaning that if he knew that it were less than a sixth, he wouldn't be giving it to me. That's why I shouldn't accept it back, right? And because we have this. That's why we're saying don't accept repayment if there's uncertainty about whether it's less than a sixth, because in truth he wouldn't give it willingly if it was less than a sixth. That's why. That might be why the Taz says not to accept it. But if he knew and he offered it anyway, then I would be allowed to accept it, because then there's no doubt, there's no question about what's going on. So I'm not so sure that I'm with the Pesach Hoshen on this. The Pesach Hoshen then comes back to the second half also. In the end, you do. He says, "V'nir alidim gam amarzi yirei shemayim yidel aderech matana." If he's yirei shemayim and he says, "Look, I'd like to give it back," then good, let him give it as a gift, and then you can accept it as a gift, but not as a refunding of the transaction. Yeah, that's the way I read what the, at least as a potential read of what the Taz is trying to say. Okay. Give it as derech matana, fine. What? Yeah.
So it does sound like the Taz has an opposition to returning it as a refund.
But to accepting it as a refund.
Well, no, he says it sounds like even offering, right? Right.
No, he said lo yikabel mimenu.
When he says give it to him, yitin lo derech matana.
And that way he can be makabel. I don't think it's the...
Well, is it? Or is it... I mean, is, you know... He does seem to have an opposition to calling this a refund.
But I would say that what he's saying, when he says yitin lo derech matana, the point is, and therefore the makabel is not taking advantage. He's giving it to me saying, I'm giving it to you as a gift anyway, I don't care, therefore I can accept it with clear conscience, even though I know that maybe he's not really required to give it. As opposed to if he's giving it to me saying, well, I might be obligated to give this to you, in which case my response will be that I can't accept it, because maybe you're not obligated to give it to me, in which case you wouldn't want to.
So therefore, if he gave it back to you, would you know? I mean, when he gives it back to you, do you think it's a refund? Is there an afkamina? I don't know if there's an afkamina.
Well, only once you get into the crazy cases. You know, I sold it to someone else in between, or Kiddushin, or whatever.
I'm trying to think, so which one do you think it is?
What do you mean?
I'm trying, like, when, let's say he gives it back, right, let's say it's just the case of less than a sixth.
Yeah.
And he offers it totally willingly, right?
Yes. So good. If everybody knows it's less than a sixth, then he's giving it derech matana.
So that's what you think. It would be derech matana, not...
He's giving it back to you with the assumption that it was more than a sixth.
Right, because otherwise he wouldn't do it.
And now in the second case, saying, oh, I don't care, I'll give it to you anyway.
Right. If you come to me and say, this may be that I may have overcharged you, so I'm giving this to you. You know that if the truth were found out that he had not, in fact, overcharged you, he wouldn't want to give this. So that's why you don't accept it. But if he says to you, I'm giving it to you, I don't care. It's not worth it to me to think about. I'd rather have my slate clear, so therefore I'm giving it to you no matter what, whether I overcharged you or not, then you're clear. Right? Then there's no problem. Yeah. I think his reason is because you were a mohel. So by what right are you claiming this?
Well, that's my problem. Yeah.
So if he's saying that, what is it? Why not?
If it's matana,
mm-hmm.
As I don't understand, it seems to be that the Taz is, you know, caught up on the matana thing and not...
Right.
And it's like shemitah, right? It has to be matana. Because you can't give it, as a, which is right. Weird here.
Right.
Especially if you take this out of the rush, and it's usher to me, too.
Right.
And this is only if she'in debori.
Yes.
So if he knew for sure...
That it was with
that her. It was something less than
then
a
it was
sixth,
less than a sixth.
Then so, what?
Well, then we'll say he's giving it to me derech matana. In which case, we're fine.
But what about the mechila issue?
He's giving him a gift. He's giving me a present. Good. I was mochel. And he says, you know, you're a really nice guy. I'd like to give you money. That's what he's doing. That's derech matana.
Which happens to exactly correlate to the event that overturns.
Yes. Well, no. It's a matana of, you were mochel me $10. You know, that was really nice of you. I want to give you a $10 gift. Because I'd rather, you know, make everybody whole.
So then they have to actually speak it out amongst each other what they're doing?
Or convey in some sense the knowledge that, yes, you were mochel, but I'm giving you anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's an interesting thing. I find that interesting. I also find interesting the next piece, which is the question of language. And it comes into... in response to the question of what if he says he's not mochel? What if I say I'm not mochel? I'm a buyer. Okay? I bought something and I paid for it more than it was worth, but less than 1/6. But I said, I am not mochel. If you are overcharging me, if you're cheating me, I want my money back. I'm not forgiving it. I don't care about, you know, derech people to be mochel or whatever it is. So the Achronim indicate that he's not able to opt out. If I use the word derech, that's the magic word in explaining people's mindset of mechila. And in order to follow this, you have to see two languages in the Rambam. Take a look at source base, please. This is from Hilchos Geneva, and he's talking about keeping around and using coins which are deficient. Okay, the coins that we're talking about are coins which are supposed to have a certain quantity of a particular metal, and the coin that you have does not. It's deficient. And in the case that we're talking about, it's deficient, but it's deficient by less than 1/6. So v'im lo chasra, in source base, Hilchos Geneva Zayin A, v'im lo chasra ela pachos mishtus, if it is lacking only less than 1/6, in other words, it's within 1/6 of its proper weight, or volume, theoretically, probably weight. He says, Yekayim, you're allowed to keep it, lases velases ba, to engage in commerce with it, avalo lemishka, but not to use it as a weight. When weights, we require greater precision. Shekol pachos mishtus, mochlin bo rov ha'adam b'masa uvamata. The Rambam says, because if it's less than a sixth, most people forgive it. That's one language, and I bolded it for reasons that will become clear now, in Hilchos Mechira Yud Beis Gimel, where the Rambam talks about sales. Haisa ha'onaya pachos mizeh b'chol shehu, if the onah is less than 1/6, even by a tiny amount, kigon shemachar shavashishim dinar b'chamishim upruta. So you sold something that was worth 60 for 50 and a pruta. So that's the counterintuitive case, right? You sold it for less, and the buyer is the cheater, and the seller is the one who was cheated, but it doesn't matter for our purposes. Eino chayav la'achzir klum, you are not obligated to refund anything. Shekol pachos mishtus derech hakol limcholbo. You notice what he did? Everybody is mochel, and he used the word derech, that's the way of things, and he said everybody. So that's a really interesting distinction in language. When it came to the coin, he said most people. When it came to general sales, he says derech hakol, everybody is going to forgive it. So the Sma in Reish Chav Zayin Yudalid talks about the case where somebody says, I'm not mochel. Source Dalid. Nira de ain lokeach yachalomar afshu adain muhsak bidme hakniya ani lo emchol bepachas mishtus shehonasani. I don't know. He says the buyer is not able to say I'm not mochel, even if he hasn't even paid yet. He's still holding the cash, right? He picked up the item he's buying. He hasn't handed over the cash, and he says you should just know I'm not mochel. Too bad. Ela shabatla daito etzel ruba de alma sheregilin lemochlo. His opinion, his mindset is batal to everybody else because everybody else forgives it. Umotzian miyado litneu lemocher, and therefore we will say thank you very much, and we will take it out of his hands and give it to the seller. That's the position of the Sma. He says batla daito because everybody's mochel. Now, the Machane Ephraim applies this idea to the Rush's language as well. He applies it to both the Rambam and the Rush. If you take a look at source Hey, he says, Vihine, Ra'isil ha-Rambam zal b'Hilchos Geneva perek zayin shakasav. And this is the Rambam that we refer to, obviously, in source base. Selash nivchas ha-pachas mishtus mutu v'kaimash ha-pachas mishtus rov b'nei adam mochlin bo b'masu v'mata. And he quotes you the Rambam. Ulufi dvar of Nira, he says, based on the Rambam, it appears, dahad ha-pachas mishtus havi mechila hainu taima mishum distam b'nei adam mochlin bo. He understands rov b'nei adam to mean people in general are mochel. But once I say it's a rove who are mochel, that means there's a minority who are not mochel. He says, I don't care. Lo chayshin on the miyuta. We're not concerned about the miyut. We're going to follow the rove. That's the Rambam statement as explained by the Machane Ephraim. Ulufiza yeroa, and therefore it appears, if you haven't given the cash yet, then you can say, I have not forgiven it. Because I am part of the miut. I am makbid, and I'm still holding the money. I haven't engaged in the transaction. I can stipulate that I am not part of this. That's the Machne Ephraim's take on the Rambam. I'm going to come back to that because that's confusing what he just did with the Rambam. He did a bait and switch. But I just want to show you the Rush first because the Rush is the part that's easier. Ivra, dechoze hayanira lefi tamo shel Rambam zal. Everything that he just said is within the Rambam. Aval harash zalkasa bipsakav de taima de ajdus havi mechila lefi she'en alokeach v'amoch yechol mechaben emekach betzimtzum. The Rush's logic was, you can't be precise when you set prices. V'derech ha'olam limchol ajdus, and people generally are mochel. Since we're saying is people normally are mochel, that includes you, and you don't have the ability to say I am not mochel. You can't claim opposite popular practice. We assume that it refers to you too. Derech is a universal word. Sorry?
No, we're just talking about
that. Correct.
But if the minig is that they're makbid, then they're makbid.
Right, and he actually has. You see where I have those ellipses in the Machane Ephraim. He goes into a little bit of a discussion, not much of one, on the application of this in other areas and the question of Toei and Migo and so forth. But that's the Machane Ephraim statement about the Rush. If you say derech, you can't be mochel. Now, this is where it gets confusing. It means you can't be precise.
Dollar a pound? Is that
no. Dollar a pound is different. This goes back to some of the earlier shiurim, where people sell something in precise numbers, based on number, based on weight. Then you don't have any leeway whatsoever. I mean, you talked about this a little bit in the shiur last week. You have no leeway. Forget 1/6. What we're talking about is where you have an object, and yeah, it's worth about $6. That's basically what the price is. And if I charge you $601 and it turns out it was worth $599, you're not going to come back to me because everybody knows you can't be that precise. But if I charge you $7 and it's actually worth $550, come on. That I'm going to claim. That's the Rush's approach. And within this derech formulation, it's everybody who is assumed to believe that, and not just assumed, but this is so. And you can yell and scream and say, well, I don't, and we're going to say, yes, you do. That's the way that the Machane Ephraim understands the Rush. I'm not sure. You know, it says, well, it is like a chazaka that you are, and therefore you can't argue against it. The reason why I'm not sure is because, again, the Pesach Choshen here says something that requires some thought. The Pesach Choshen, in that same Perek and Sif Kav and Yud Aleph Beis, he hedges. Because the Gemara, as well as the Rush, use language of Mechila. It's, in other words, he wants to argue that when you say you can't be mitzamtzeim, it's not even that there's a chazaka that you're mochel. It's, this is the normal way to do business. You know, this is the right price, essentially. But then he hedges, you know, mitlabet, he says, well, you know, they use the language of mechila also, which makes it sound like it is something that you do, and therefore something you're entitled to say, I don't do. So he's not so sure about what to do. The Pesach Choshen is not so sure that the Machane Ephraim is correct in his read.
And the other thing, but since we talk about a merchant that is in the business, or are we talking about a balabayas?
No, merchant. Merchant selling to balabayas, yeah. Because this is normal. Yeah.
If we're saying, even if this is Nechila, if we're saying there's such a concept as everyone does this and you can never claim that you can do it, so it's great. So
I don't understand.
The question just raised from the Pesachoshen.
Yeah.
There's a language of Mechila here. Mechila is something you do. Granted, but if you're saying the concept of Derech is that we know that everyone does this, there's no exceptions. Even if it's something you do, we have to say that we say you did do it.
But if I'm standing there before I'm going to do it, saying I'm not going to do this?
Meaning it's like you go to the shuk.
So then you're saying there's no concept of Derech.
You're saying he's bluffing.
What?
Then it's really a rope. Then it's not. Then there is no concept of Derech that everybody knows.
Right, thing. You go to the shuk. Everyone haggles. You can just kick and scream and say, "I'm not over. You're overcharging me."
But that's still different.
No, but that's the market. No, but that's the market they're living in. Like,
if that's the culture, how can you actually say with a strict, like, how can you actually mean you're not being mohel? Like, everyone understands that it's part, there's constant negotiation, the price is going to be hard to fix, and you can kick and scream and say, you're not being mohel a little bit, but like, can you, I don't, you know, you could just say, how could it really mean that?
It doesn't mean that you're mohel. Maybe what? You can buy, but it doesn't mean that I'm mohel. I don't have a choice.
Unless you can say that you engage in transactions, we don't have a choice. That's what
Mahila, right? You entered the shuk, right? You know that if you go into Machane Yehuda, you go into the Arab shuk, as opposed to going into, you know, to Rami Levi, right?
I'm going to go further with this, only because the reason Rabbi Ziering is doing shiur next week instead of me is because I have to be at a meeting at 10:30 next week that I can't, so I won't be able to start on time, which means that I can't continue this next week. That's one facet of it. The other is the Rambam's language, and the Achronim are medayek in the Rambam's language regarding coins. That goes back to the Machne Ephraim that I read quickly and said we're not touching on just yet from the first half of Hay, where he says, look at the Rambam's language where he says, Rov b'nei Adam, that means you believe that most people forgive it, a minority do not forgive it, and we just overlook them. We pretend they don't exist. In which case, as the Machne Ephraim writes, if somebody says, I am from the minority, then we won't say, Batla Daito. That's the Machne Ephraim's read of the Rambam. You could actually, according to the Rambam, step away from it. That's the Machne Ephraim's read. The Eben HaAzel in Geneva Zion Hay, I didn't bring it on the sheet because it was, you know, 12:45 in the morning. But the Eben HaAzel to Geneva Zion Hay, as well as to Mechira Yud Beis, also talks along the same lines about it and tries to be medayik the same way in the language of Rov. However, there are others who say no. When the Rambam writes Derech in Hilchos Mechira, right, regarding regular onah, that's actually the same thing as Rov regarding coins. The Mishpat Shalom says this. The Mishpat Shalom, you can find the PDF on Hebrew Books. It's page 204 of the PDF. It's Reish Chav Zayin Aleph. He notes that, where's it, Gimel? I wrote Aleph, but I think it's Gimel. All right, fine. The Mishpat Shalom notes that notes the Sma that we say Batla Daito to the rest of the world. Okay, he notes the Sma that we read before, right? The Sma who said Batla Daito to the rest of the world, and he's very bothered by it because he says we don't say Batla Daito when you're dealing with financial matters. And he concludes the Sma must really believe that when we say Rove here, we actually mean everybody. Rove means everybody. Rove and Derech HaOlam are the same thing. That's the conclusion that he draws. I am terribly bothered by this because he didn't use the word Rove here. Sorry? But aside from that, he didn't use the word Rove here. We're talking about regular Mecha Chomemka. We're not talking about coins. He said Derech. So what that shows me is that the Mishpat Shalom is very comfortable lumping together the Rove and Derech language. And the Machane Ephraim did the same thing. Right? The Machane Ephraim, when he had his discussion, right, that we just read, he took the language that Rambam used in Hilchos Geneva regarding coins and tried to extrapolate from it regarding Onah in general. Right? That was in Source Hay. Even though he was medayik in the word Rove. Clearly, not everybody thinks that you're supposed to pick at the Rambam's language of Rove versus Derech and read one thing in one and one thing in another. It appears is what's going on. The whole thing is very strange. And we're going to come back to this in the Machane Ephraim shortly. So the upshot is that what we're saying is that if he says, I am not mochel, but generally the Achronim say, you're not able to back out. That tends to be the approach. What if he hasn't paid yet? Like the case that we already referred to. What if he hasn't paid? So the Sma that we saw above sounds like he is still obligated to pay. Doesn't make a difference, right? That's what it sounded like, correct? Hello? Okay. So the Machane Ephraim presents both sides. The Machane Ephraim says, and this is what we've already seen, he brings the rush supporting the obligation to pay, right, saying that the you can't be precise, it's normal to forgive. If so, can't claim against the Derech HaOlam. He takes the Rambam's language from Geneva, where the Rambam says most people forgive regarding coins, implying that a minority does not forgive, and I just don't care about them, right? But that implies that you could say before paying, I don't forgive. And in fact, he notes that Tosis in Bava Basra, Tzadi Beis Nabad Aleph Velechzi, that indicates that you can do that. You can claim, I am from the mute. It's discussing their Kad and Chavis and, you know, the language that people use when they want to buy something. And again, I'm bothered because the Rambam didn't say this regarding general. He didn't say Rove regarding general commerce. He only said that regarding coins. So again, I don't know what to do with that. But that's the position of the Machane Ephraim. He brings the Rush saying you have to pay. He brings the Rambam saying you do not have to pay. And then he adds in a Rashbam in Bava Basra who says that there's an Isser Onah, less than 1/6, right? That goes back to our initial discussions about Onah. And you just don't have a chiyuv to repay it. But based on that, he says, before the transaction takes place, the buyer is not going to be obligated to pay. Right? If there's an Isser for you in doing this, if there's an Isser for you in selling this to me, then if I call you on it before I pay, I'm not going to be obligated to pay that difference. You're doing something that's wrong. That's his position. The Imre Bina says, of course, you're obligated to pay. First he quotes his brother-in-law, and then he says, my brother-in-law is wrong. In Source Vav, he says, V'atik es asher hashavti lechvod. I don't know if Shin Bez is Shochet Bodek or something else, but he uses this title for him a few times. The Gisi, Yididi, Harav, Agon, Agadol, Amafursam, Hamuvok, he's going to contradict him, you know, after building up his titles. Morenu Harav, Tzvir Shoyerbach, Av Bezdin in Kanin. Okay. So he says the following. This is what my brother-in-law said. There's a discussion in the Gemara, which we'll have to get to when we get to Ezu Neshech, about what we're calling here Ribis Devei Rabbi Chia. It's a convoluted case in which basically you might end up with Ribis. It's the Rosh's in Bava Metzia Heches. What happens is you're going to lend somebody $100 worth of wheat and buy it back from him for $80. Got it? You're going to lend him $100 worth of wheat. Okay, the mashilo chita shel shivim mea, v'ata achshav koneh tachita mimenu b'shmonim. So in other words, it's a sideways way of paying your rebate, right? Because that means that you're now holding $100 worth of wheat for a loan of $80. Because at the end he's going that's the upshot. That's the concern. So there, the Rush writes that Beis Din is not going to help the lender to collect the debt because he did something wrong. So my brother-in-law said that the same thing will apply if a seller sells for less than 1/6. Beis Din is not going to help him to collect the overage because he broke a law. That's the statement that the brother-in-law made, and it's brought here in this first part of the Imre Bina. However, the Imre Bina says, I disagree. And he has two reasons. One reason that he disagrees is because he says the Ribis case is not the Ribis, it's an Avak Ribis case. It's a whole different, don't make the analogy from the Ribis case to the less than 1/6. The Ribis case is a lot stronger as a consideration than your less than 1/6. That's his second argument. But his first argument is that we look at the refund differently. He says, Ukvar Be'arti, I'm in the middle of Source Vav, Ukvar Be'arti Bez Hashem Yisparach B'Sefer Divrechem Dine Onah Vav, Da'av Be'onah Shtus Chayev Alokech B'Mishichas HaChefetz. Even if it's actually 1/6, it's not Mechila status. If the buyer picks up the item, he is now obligated to pay. Rak HaMocher Eino Rasha L'Kabel. It's just that the seller is prohibited from accepting the other 1/6, the overage, because people aren't mochel. But you have to pay. You follow? That's what he says. But if it's less than a 6, hang on. There's nothing wrong in the case where it's less than a 6 with the seller actually accepting what the buyer is supposed to pay. Because he's already been forgiven by the buyer. He forgives it even before giving the money. That's the idea, yeah.
Meaning, it's lashon of the, it only there's an issue once he picks it up. Is because the kinyan is on the mashiacha or the agva?
Yeah.
It's metalton. It's give over the damim.
No. No. First of all, we're talking about we do the mashiacha before the damim. That's the whole point. Yeah. But the dumb idea is that the dumb work midi oraisa and midi rabbanim, they don't work, and we require the mashiacha. This is if it is no at or less. That's a different category. Yeah. No, what the Imre Bina is trying to say is that you can't claim as a buyer that he's charging me more than he is supposed to, and he's violating an iser by doing so. You're not able to make that claim. That's the argument that he's saying, and the reason why is because he gets the money, and then yes, he's going to have to refund it to me if it's 1/6, and if it's not, then in mocha. That's the argument that the Imre Bina makes, and therefore you can't say, well, Beis Din won't help him out because he's doing something wrong. He's doing nothing wrong, but the moment when he's actually taking the payment, it's just going to have a chiyuv to refund it. That's the way that he's looking at it. And if it's less than a 6, he won't even have that. Okay. Let's get into the other half of this. Bittul mekach at more than 1/6. So you know the conclusion of the Gemara Bava Metzia Nunum Beis. It says shnehem chosrin, right? If it's more than 1/6, both of them, it sounds like both of them are able to back out. Okay, even if you got nothing that we said for the last half hour, start here. The rule is that both of them are able to back out. That's what it sounds like. Which, if you ask me what that Gemara meant, I would say what it means is, if I sold something to you, and it was more than 1/6 over, you have the right to say, no way, I'm backing out of the deal, and I have the right to say, no way, I'm backing out of the deal. That's what it sounds like. Until I hit the Gemara Bava Basra in Source Zion. Amar of Chizda, and this is known by his name that will be referred to constantly as Rav Chizda's statement. Machar lo shava chamesh b'sheish. Let's say what was sold was a $5 item, sold for 6, v'hukar v'amar al shmona, and then it spiked in value before any claim could be made of ona. Right? And now it's suddenly worth 8. Okay? So it was worth 5 when I bought it. I bought it, maybe I was smart, maybe I was lucky, but I bought it for 5. I bought it for 6. I paid more than it was worth. It was a house in Thornhill, right? So the house should have been, leave aside Karkoa's questions, but the house should have been worth $400,000. They had me pay 7, which is not his case. He's doing at 1/6, which is going to matter later. But let's say I paid 7 for the house that should have been 4. But a year later, it's worth $1 million.
The Mishnah says that there's only a tekufa in which you can claim on the matter.
Yeah, that's true. I'm playing with this.
So aside from Karkoff, aside from the time period.
Correct. That's not my point. My point is I'm trying to give you a case you can visualize, like a real world experience, okay? So the house now worth $1 million, right? So who's going to want to get a refund on this deal now? Who's going to want to say Bittul Mekach? The seller. The seller is going to want to say Bittul Mekach. The buyer is laughing all the way to the bank. So Minis Ana, who got cheated? Lokeach. Lokeach was done initially because he bought a $400,000 house for $700,000. The Lokeach, Yochalachs, or Bavalo Mocher. So only the Lokeach is able to back out, says Rav Chisda. Mishum da Amarle, because he'll say, when the seller comes to him saying, wait, we have to mevatel the deal, he says, no. Ilu lo oni son, lo hava matzis hadrisbach. The only reason that you have the possibility of backing out is because you cheated me in the first place. Hashta da oni son, matzis hadrisbach. So you think now you're going to gain by that? You're going to take advantage of the fact that you cheated me? Oh, no. This is mine. That's your Chisda statement in Bava Basra. Which is going to set us up for a problem. Because didn't Bava Metzia say Shneim Chozrin? They can both back out. How in the world am I going to deal with this? And that's the circle we're going to have to square as part of our conversation. So, before we can deal with the answers for that problem, let's ask a question. Let's say it doesn't go up. A normal case of Bittul Mekach. I sold you a $5 item, and I sold it to you for 8. So, we know already that we're talking about Bittul Mekach territory. But let's say that's not what the buyer wants. The buyer says, refund me the 3. Okay? I sold Jeffrey a $5 item for $8. Jeffrey finds out it's worth $8. He shows it to his friend, the merchant. And he comes back to me and says, I don't want to be Mevatel the Mekach, but I want you to pay me back the $3. Right? So for anyone who went through the Gemara on Daf Nun, you already know, the seller is going to have no interest in doing that whatsoever. He'd rather be Mevatel the Mekach. He doesn't want you to be able to say, I'm giving you back the $3, because now he's stuck at $5. Right? He got greedy and he got caught. So what he'd rather do is start again with a new buyer and get greedy again and maybe be smarter about his greed and charge, you know, less than $8 rather than end up with a situation where he hands it off for $5, which was the appropriate price in the first place. So the question is the buyer able to come back and say, yeah, just the onah? So the answer is, it's a machlokas we've shown him. The Ramach, quoted in the Shita Mekubetz, as source chess, says the following, Kasef HaRamach Vezeh Lashono, Mishenis Ana B'shtus, Hu Dechozer V'Toveya Ona Aso. Only someone who is at 1/6 is the one who can claim Ona. V'lo HaMe'aneh, and not the person who did the Ona. Av Agav, the Iker Zvina Basar Hafi, even if it goes up, right? That's like Rechizda. Mi'u Lomatzi Hader Be'i Chad Minayu, Hecha Dekaboy Idach L'Shalu Melei Onisei. He says, on the other hand, the lo matzi hader bechad minayu, one of them cannot back out if the other one says, I just want to pay the onah. You follow? So in the 5 and 8 case, the rule is, you can't back out if the other one is willing to pay you the onah. In other words, there is still a concept of refund the onah and break even. Rabbeinu Yonah says, no. Rabbeinu Yonah, in a piece that we haven't yet seen, but we're going to see at length, says, absolutely not. I brought you the excerpt in source number Tess. He says, in the Gemara Bava Basra, in Rav Chista's Gemara, he says, Ustama lav betovei ona aso mairi. We're not talking about where he's claiming the ona. Shari ein yachlid v'ona aso b'yosem yishtus, because you can't claim ona if you're over 1/6. He's not claiming the ona. He's being mevatel hamekach. Hello, yevatel hamekach, o yisratzebo. You only have two choices. Right? You get two choices. It's like the waitress on El Al when they come around with the dinner. Right? She says, would you like dinner? What are my choices? Yes or no? That's the old El Al. I don't know if the new El Al is the same way. But that's Rabbeinu Yonah's statement. He says you only have two choices. That's it. That's all you're getting. So you have this machlokas we showing him. Adam, what's wrong? By saying that Lomatzi, at the end of the quote there, I thought there was another piece where he said it actually more clearly, then I couldn't find it when I was doing the source sheet, so I just took this piece. But he says, Lomatzi hader bechad minayu hecha dekaboy idoch l'shalu milei onisei. Where he's willing to just refund the ona, you don't have the right of saying bitl mekach.
He's talking about more than the shtus.
Yeah.
Before he was talking about just the first sentence is, Mishinitana
deshtut. Udechozer v'tvei ona asavla ma'aneh. Yeah, but we don't have a concept of bitul mekach ashtus. He has to be talking more. No? I understand what you're saying from the beginning of the line. I thought there was a better line for him, and I was looking for it late last night and couldn't find it, and I just went with this one because I thought this would convey the same message. But I'd have to go back and look. The question then is, what does the Rambam believe? So if you take a look at the Rambam in Yud Beis Dalet in Source Yud, and I'm going to deliberately read it in a way that I don't think is correct because this is the way everybody reads it. But I'm going to come back to change it later. Look at the Rambam. If the onah is more than a sixth, right? The same case we saw before. You sold a $60 item for $50 and change. So it's an onah of a little of more than a sixth still. Sorry, pachas pruta, that's why. 50 minus a pruta. It's 49 and change, right. So batal mekach. V'hamis'aneh yochol ha'chzer achif, it's v'li yiknei klal. And the mis'aneh, the victim, can back out. Aval ha'me'aneh oso eino yochol ha'chzer imratza zevekibel. But the me'aneh is not able to back out if the victim says, I want to go ahead with the transaction. V'aval pisha batal ha'mekach, and even though we say batal mekach, nonetheless, ein hamaane chayev lahachzir an shetia ona yesra pruta. If the ona amount is less than a pruta, right? It's more than a sixth, but it's less than a pruta, then you don't have to pay. Haisa pruta b'shava ino machzir sheino noyel a pruta. And if it's exactly a pruta, also you don't have to. So the way that the Rambam is generally read by many is to say that in the case of Bitul Mekach, in the case of Bitul Mekach, he doesn't have to refund the Onah unless it is Yeser Al Pruta. So the Magid Mishnah and the Tur read the Rambam to say that the buyer has the option of claiming the Onah difference. Otherwise, what are you talking about with being Machzir the Onah? Right? He's talking about a case that's more than a sixth. That's clear from the context, or we think it's clear from the context. Haisa Onah Yeser Al Shtus B'chol Shehu. Right? And he says, V'av ha'pisha batel ha'mekach, ein ha'ma'ana chayav la'achzir what? Right? They read the Rambam as saying that if the Onah is more than a sixth, then the Mekach is batel, but you don't need to refund Onah. So you can't mean the Mekach is batel and you don't need to refund the Onah in the same case. If the Mekach is batel, there's no Onah. Everything's going back where it came from. So what it must be saying is that you're able to demand the Onah aside from Bitul Mekach. You have another option on your plate. You were able to say, I'm demanding the Onah. And then, assuming the Onah is more than a pruta, he'll have to pay it back. You follow the Rambam? I think everyone else here seems as tired as I am. That's the way that the Magid Mishnah reads the Rambam. That's the way the Torah reads the Rambam. Sorry?
So the Mekach button is the same as void or voidable? It seems it's voidable.
It sounds like he's saying batel mekach, it's void. But as another option, he claims it. Right, so it's void. Alright, so call it voidable. Use it that way. Okay. But that's the way that they read this Rambam. However, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't read it that way. The Shulchan Aruch does not read it that way. The Shulchan Aruch says you cannot claim Onah. If you take a look at Source Yud Aleph, Ad Masa Yacholachzer v'ledvoa Onah so b'shtus ulevatel amekach b'yosem ishtus. How long are you able to either claim Onah at 1/6 or be mevatel at more than a sixth? And actually, Letagra look quote, right? Why did he divide the cases up that way? How long can you claim Onah at 1/6 or be mevatel at more than a sixth? Meaning, claiming the Onah is not an option at more than a sixth. He broke it out very, very clearly. And I think the reason why he does this is because he reads the Rambam as two separate statements that got lumped together in Halacha Dalet. Which is why, if you take a look at Yud Beis, he breaks them out as two separate halachos. Number one, law number one. Haisa Onah Yiseir Al Shtus Kol Shehu. It's verbatim Rambam, right? He's just using the Onah versus Honaya spelling, but everything else is the same. Haisa Onah Yiseir Al Shtus Kol Shehu. If it's more than a sixth, and he gives you the same case, he sold you a $60 item for 49 in change. Batel Mecca Vamisana Yachol Lachzer Chifetz Vayikne Klal, right? Mecca Batel. Avol Ma'ana Eino Yachol Lachzer Matzav Kibel. But the guy who sold it is not able to do so. Assuming that the other one wants to keep the trade, right? He wants to keep the sale. And then in Hay, as a separate law, he says, Ein hama'ana chayav lahach. They're not in a case of more than a sixth, but in a regular 1/6 case. Ajitiyah, oh no, yeser al pruta. You follow? These are two separate statements that got lumped together. I'd like to go back to the manuscript and see whether Rambam has any scribbles over here that ended up putting them together in Mechira Yud Beis Daled, because I think that's the way the Shulchan Aruch reads it, and frankly, it's a lot easier way to read the Rambam. It's going to matter later also. There are other ramifications for this. But that's the... I believe that the Shulchan Aruch thinks that the Rambam is saying that no, you're not able to claim Onah. If it's more than a sixth, you have two choices, right? The Rabbeinu Yonah menu. Either yes or no. You want the deal. In which case, that's just the way it is. And you overpaid, and too bad. Or you don't want the deal, in which case the whole thing is void. But you can't say, I want the $3 difference back. That's not an option. Clear? Good. At least I got something straight. If the buyer agrees to the sale, let's say the buyer does agree to the sale, is it valid retroactively, or is it valid only from now? At what point does this begin? I'm just looking at everything else I have here to say and wondering whether I should skip this. It's a good note, but I think I'm going to skip this in order to get to the major part. Okay, so I'm skipping the question of if the buyer agrees to the sale, is it valid retroactively?
since we're on Twitter.
You think it's worth it?
Rose can bring it up.
No, they do. Yeah, but the bigger discussion is still Rabbeinu Yonah Rivam, and we're not going to get to it. All right. If the buyer agrees to the sale, is it valid retroactively, or is it valid from this moment forward? So the Rush deals with the classic Rav Chisda case, right? The 5, 6, 8. It was worth 5. I bought it for 6, and then it went to 8. And the and now, what happens is, I am the buyer. I want to claim Onda. Okay, in other words, you sold it to me, right? Tommy sold it to me for 6. It was really only worth 5. Tommy comes back to me and says, you know what, I'd like to reverse the sale. I'd give it back to the Mecca. I turn around to him and say, not only am I keeping it, but you have to pay me an additional dollar. You have to refund the dollar out of the 6 that I paid you, because that was Onda. Right, you follow. That's what the rush deals with, and it's in source Yud Gimel. The main cat roads a lasser bow. El tovea on asom and amocher, where I don't want to back out, I the buyer, but instead I want you to pay me. Yesh omrim, that's the first view. We call him yesh omrim. Shetarach lahavzir lo ona asom, that you have to refund the ona. You're out a dollar. The kelin jim tava kodim shuhukro yatarach lahavzir lo ona, because if I had made the claim before it spiked to $8, you would have had to pay me back. Gamatanami kishukur pershusa di day iker. It went up in my possession. That's the way it works. That's the position of the Yesh Omrim. In other words, the sale was valid from the start. That's really the key. When I decide I want to go ahead with the sale, retroactive to that time, it was valid, and therefore it was mine when it went up in value. And the Onah is something I can claim from then. Whereas Rabbeinu Yonah says, not so fast. Rabbeinu Yonah is al-kasav, she'en yachlet v'onah aso. He says, you can't claim the Onah. Why? First of all, to Kevin Shah Yocholazer Bo, since I had the ability to back out, Lonis Kaima Mekacharata, it wasn't a valid sale. Only when I decided that I'm keeping it, did it become valid. And the Misana, the victim, is not able to claim the Ona unless there was Ona at the time when the Mekach was Kayim, but there isn't, because now it's worth $8. That's one point. Further, he goes into the logic of Rav Chisda, and he says, Rav Chisda, I'm gonna skip it. It fits Rav Chisda's language as well. Rav Chisda's argument would not have been necessary if you really believed that it was valid retroactively. His argument of Ilav de Onisani would no longer have been relevant. If the sale is valid retroactively, you don't need to say Ilav de Onisani. The answer is just, you know, it's mine. It's mine, it was mine then. That's it. The poskim tend to follow the Yesh Omrim. So the Beis Yosef in Reish Chavzayin notes that the Rambam takes the view of the Yesh Omrim, meaning that the sale is valid from the start. The Rambam is in source Yedalin. Hamocher shavachamish b'sheish. You sold him a $5 item for a 6 item, and then again you didn't get to show it to a tagger until lo and behold it was worth 8. So the seller is going to have to refund that dollar. Because the sale is valid. You have to pay it back. It went up in value in the possession of the buyer. So that's clearly like the Yesh Omrim. The tour, as well, sides with the Yesh Omrim. I brought it for you in Tesvav, in which he says, Afi Shachazer, I'm jumping into the middle of it, Afi Shachazer ledin bitol mekach etzel mocher, afilo achi eno yonchalavzer bo, velo oda l'shachayev litin l'lokeach ha'echot, shrei nikna ha'mekach l'brushus l'lokeach hukar. That's the way it goes. The sale is valid retroactively, and the Shulchan Aruch in Reish Chav Zayin Yud Beis, I brought it in source Tezayin, does the same thing. The nikna ha'mekach chayev l'hachzer, ukshahukar brushus l'lokeach hukar. That's why he takes it. The Machane Ephraim says that we could still say that the sale is only valid now. Despite these various Piskei Halacha, you could still make the argument that the sale is not valid retroactively. Why? And this is what I meant before when I said that I shouldn't give you the 5 and 8 and all those examples. Rav Chisda's case that we saw in Bava Basra, the way he said, he loved the Ogir and so on, right? Was specifically a case where it was at 1/6. It was a 5, 6, 8 case. And therefore, the Mekach wouldn't have been Batel. The Mekach was Kayam. That's the argument of the Machane Ephraim. If you take a look at Source Yitzayin, Ophini is Daiti in Irakin. Va'Rambam va'Turzal lo pligiim hara Rabbeinu Yonah Zal. They're not disagreeing with Rabbeinu Yonah. De ha'Rambam va'Turzal airu ba'onah shtus. They're talking about a case in which the owner was one sixth. That make a kaya meikara. It was a valid sale from the beginning. Which is why I can claim the one on the deal. Rabbeinu Yonah is dealing with the din of Rav Chisda overall, in a case of Bitl Mekach, where there was a Bitl Mekach possibility. So he says, Nachman Ephraim says, that everybody actually is going to agree that if it's a 1/6 case, the sale was valid retroactively. If it's a more than a 6 case, it's only valid now. That's what he says, and I think if you look in the Kiryas Melech Rav, Delchus Mechira, Yud Beis Dalad, you'll see it similarly. Whereas the Chidush Rabbeinu Simcha in Bava Basra, Pei Dalad Amar Aleph, the second part of it, sides with the Kitzur Piskei HaRush, who says no, the Rush was talking about more than a sixth when he presented this. He wasn't dealing with only with Rav Chisda's narrow case of the 5, 6, 8, but he's also dealing with a case of Bitl Mekach. So there is a machlokes achronim in how to do it. There's more also with the Machane Ephraim Yud Beis, but that's just, I wanted to show you this machlokes about whether it's retroactive or not. And everybody who's not named Machane Ephraim and maybe Kiryas Melech Rav takes the view that what we're saying is that the sale is valid retroactively. When you say I agree to the sale, it's valid retroactively. That's the idea. Adam, you look.
According to Rabbeinu Yonah, there was no sale at all until the person decided to accept the sale.
There's no
mekach at all that happened until the moment when.
You mean if we're going to take. Yeah.
So why don't they make a new kinyan? Like, why is it? What connects anything back to the original moment when they did this?
That's an interesting question. So why is there no act of kinyan required? If you're going to take the view that it's only valid now. If you're going to take the view of Rabbeinu Yonah, essentially, why doesn't Rabbeinu Yonah require a Maisa Kenyan?
I mean, other places the complaint compares it to, the Masu Mata Vidvarim or something.
Yeah.
Masu Mata Vidvarim, you have to end up with a Kenyan. I assume he meant Masu Mata Vidvarim until later when the original Kenyan is clinched.
That's an interesting question. I don't know.
You have an achronim, right? Where you have a time where you can be chozer, but the question is how do you view it, right? If you have a time where you can be chozer, when you choose not to be chozer, was it called mafrei or was it called at the end? Right? There are other models like that where you have aspos chazara, but maybe you don't choose the end.
The same question in the other places also. Like, what does that mean? You have something that's up in the air.
Because you said it's a time, like you did the maza, but it's, you know, it's like a kain tanai, right? That it will be called in, right? Yeah. 5 seconds or, you know, a day or whatever the case may be.
Right. It's still an interesting question, but yeah. So we still have this issue of, is the seller able to back out? Okay, Pesach, did you have a question? I saw you were, okay. Is the seller able to back out where the buyer has not opted out but still has the option of doing so? Okay? This is something that's been touched on already in previous shiurim, but it's a much bigger question. And the Drisha outlines beautifully why this law is unclear, and this is what I had said in the beginning of this discussion about more than 1/6. The problem we're dealing with fundamentally is that Bava Metzia says Shneim Chozrin, which says, I don't care whether the buyer is backed out or not, the seller can still choose to do so. Sounds like it. Versus Bava Basra and Rav Chisda, who says not necessarily. Ilav Doni Son, right? So we have two resolutions for the problem. One will be Rabbeinu Yonah, and the other will be Rivam. So the I'm going to say it outside and figure out at some point we have to fit this into a shir somehow.
So try to say that according to the Tzad, that there's only a chalais now.
Yeah.
Then basically, until now, there is no chalais. So as a result, both have the option.
Say that again?
There's a machlokes in the shir, whether it's retroactively, there's a chalais. If they all agree, or now.
Right.
If Mitzar HaSheni, that you hold this only as a chalais now, all right, then you could argue there is no mekach.
Correct.
Until it's accepted. So Mamela, even the mocha can we can't.
Yeah. No, he's certainly more friendly to that view. Yeah. So the two resolutions are as follows. Shneim Chozrin, this is one resolution, and this is the Rivam. Shneim Chozrin, they can both back out only if the buyer demands his own na'ah back. And this is clearly within the view that you can demand your own na'ah back.
So
that gives the seller the chance to say, you know what, I want to drop the whole thing.
No, not necessarily. He's saying you can't. Right? If you try.
Well, right. That's the thing. He's going to end up backing up. But not that you can't. You can, but it opens up a possibility for the other
people. He's saying it's bigger than you can't. And if you do that, it triggers a bitulmekach.
Right. Well, but it doesn't. There's still an action of bitulmekach. It doesn't mean that the moment you say these words, the sale is void. What you're doing is not... That's part of the question we have to discuss. Are you showing dissatisfaction with the deal by saying, I want my money back? Because you're not. You're only saying, I want my own noah back. The argument by some is the opposite. You're actually showing that you want the mekach. You just don't want to pay this little bit.
So what's the inference? The inference
is so,
you want it back, and if you don't get it back, what if I say no?
So what I think we're going to have to do, realistically, is maybe... I can't do it in the beginning of next year, because that's the whole point. That's why you're giving shear. Maybe the Erev Yom Kippur shear, I should start off with this. What do you think? In other words, do Ona first.
Just do the other way around next week.
Do this at the end? Will you be able to allow enough time at the end?
Maybe. Make longer shear next week.
Well, I mean, so far
that won't help. I have to be out of here from 10:30 to about 10:50.
I have next week. I have mocher.
No, we can't go late.
Next week I have mocher to do.
Yeah.
And theoretically balabai, but I could just do mocher, not do balabai.
And then let me. So I'll throw this in at the end of next week.
And then, I mean, mocher will take about half an hour. It's a bit too big.